to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio.
Truth is on. Welcome back to the second hour of the National Intel Report, usually hosted by John Stoutmiller, but I'm sitting in for him today. He's not feeling well. And we have a wonderful guest, John Snyder, gun expert. And we've got a couple of guys on the phone. John, you ready to take a couple of more callers?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Guy from Arkansas, you're on the line.
Hey, welcome to RBN, Addy. Yeah, it's a breath of fresh air hearing a female voice on a what would be a man's world out there. Outside of you and well, Deanne, it's great to hear you, gals. I apologize.
Thank you, Guy.
I apologize for not being able to call you in the morning on your show. It's just that, you know, so early in the morning we're all getting our day together, and I have but maybe a half an hour or so to really listen to what you got to say before I have to run out. So just want to welcome you there.
Well, thank you. And I want to remind everybody we have archives. So every show that is broadcast on RBN, you can go to our website and go into the archives and download and listen anytime.
I live and die by them. Thank you. Thank God bless John for keeping that a non-subscription free venue. John, yeah. Thank you for all the work you've been doing to keep our Second Amendment alive and well. I just really want to make a very simple, common sense statement that the reason why they want to get the guns out of D.C. is because the politicians, you know, they're scared to death that we find out how they've been just, you know, criminalizing us. And treasonous us, it's you know, they're just trying to protect their own hides, and that's why they want the guns out of D.C. It's probably no more simpler than that. And
well,
thank you for your
still tar and feathers, you know.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Guy. Well, you know, he makes a good point, and that has that came up when I was doing my work there in D.C. that that was a concern. For the security and safety of so many men and women in our Congress.
Well, I've known some congressmen over the year who were pro-gun who actually kept guns in their safes in their offices. They didn't necessarily want to advertise that fact, but a number of them did because at one time there was concern when there was a lot of rioting in D.C. and fear of terrorists and all this, that, and the other thing that. They might not really feel completely safe being protected by the law enforcement authorities per se. So there's many sides to this issue, I think, Nadia. Many sides to it.
Yeah. Well, we have Alan that's been waiting patiently from Texas. Alan, you're on the air.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Great program. I'm sorry I came in a little bit late. So if you've already answered this question. I was just curious how, if you have a gut feeling, how the Supreme Court may rule.
I wouldn't venture to offer an opinion on that. I know that there's been a lot of discussion back and forth by lawyers and by people on the internet and so on and so forth. All I can say is that I certainly hope that the Supreme Court will see that. As most scholars see, the Second Amendment refers to an individual right to keep and bear arms, that the militia clause in that Second Amendment is a dependent clause, and that it is the dependent clause linguistically, and it is also dependent historically, because at the time the amendment was written, it was only people who actually owned their own guns who could actually become part of a militia, part of an active militia. So I think that both from a language point of view and an historic point of view, that the facts are on our side, and I just certainly hope that the men and women on the Supreme Court see it that way.
I was interested to hear on another...
I hate to cut into you. We're going to take another quick break, but if you'll hang in there with us, we'll get back to you when we come back.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you are interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365. This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Welcome back to our second hour. I'm Nadia Shamsuddin. I'm sitting in for John today, and we have a caller on hold still with Alan in Texas. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just listening to another evening talk show about this very subject, and I was surprised to hear that even Lawrence Tribe, and I believe he's at Harvard, and Alan Dershowitz, they even believe that it is an individual right and expect the Supreme Court to rule accordingly.
I mean, that's right. That's why I was saying the legal scholarship is definitely on our side in this particular situation.
Mm-hmm. In fact, they are saying that the history and the structure of the Second Amendment is so compelling and so strict and straightforward that they didn't see how they could possibly, in a dissenting opinion, how they could possibly justify their ruling, and they expect mm-hmm. even maybe Ruth Ginsburg would go along with
well,
it.
Well, I hope they're right.
I certainly do, because
you can never really predict how a court's going to go.
No.
But I certainly hope that they're right in this case.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm enjoying the show. I'll keep listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, you know, the language in the argument is pretty interesting. It says that the district wrongly contended that the amendment, quote, protects the possession and use of guns only in service of an organized militia, and that James Madison and others responsible for the amendment considered that, quote, keep and bear and arms referred to the maintenance and use of firearms for militia purposes only. What was your interpretation of that? Because I don't agree with that.
No. Well, the fact of the matter is the Second Amendment is part of a Bill of Rights. You know, these are guarantees of individual liberty. So why would anybody think that this one amendment refers to a collectivity rather than an individual, whereas they agree that all the other amendments in the Bill of Rights refer to individual rights? Also, there's a contradiction in terms when they argue that this refers to the rights of a militia or a collective right, because right, by its very definition, refers to something inherent in an individual as opposed to a collectivity. The reason you as an individual have a right is so that you will not be overwhelmed by a collectivity of any kind. Mm-hmm. So to argue that you only have a right if you're a member of a collectivity is total nonsense. You know, it doesn't make any sense at all. But this is the situation in which these anti-gunners and these gun grabbers would leave us. You know, they would leave us basically as servants of government rather than the government as servants of the people, as is traditionally the case in the United States.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the definition of militia and how it may have changed. Now, in the late 18th century, because I did quite a bit of research on Southern colonial frontier history and Native American history, the militia at that time was pretty much anybody that was willing to go. A lot of these organized campaigns against Native Americans, they would just go through towns and farm areas and just ask people if they wanted to go hunt Indians. And they said, yeah, and they would grab their own gun, and they weren't provided much of anything. And it was anybody that they could muster up to get involved in one of these campaigns. But has the term militia sort of changed over the years, and has it been redefined?
Well, there's been an attempt to redefine it by these people who basically want to undermine the gun rights of American citizens. And the reason they have attempted to change the definition is because they realize that the Second Amendment creates a roadblock to their desire to disarm people. You know, the other day on what's that program? Chris Matthews.
Yeah.
He said he wants to see he believes in disarmament. He stated that on that program. Well, I mean, what a non-American statement for somebody to make. This is at odds with all of American tradition. But
well, Chris Matthews has said a lot of things I don't like, our listeners don't like.
a lot of these people on TV mouth off, you know, without regard for the consequences of what they're saying lots of times. But this does present the point of view of a certain segment of the the entertainment industry or the TV industry or the media industry who really want to disarm the American people.
Comes out of ignorance, don't you think, John? I mean,
it comes out of ignorance, but it also comes out of fear of people. Basically, at root, these people who believe in increasing the power of government really are filled with fear. They are filled with fear of citizens, of law-abiding citizens, and they're trying to promulgate their ideas through the media very often, and through the media by putting pressure on politicians to support this inane view of social reality.
Well, you know, someone once said the government should fear the people should not fear the government. And
that's the way that's, 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 That's one of the theories behind our whole system of government. Really,
well, I mean, exactly.
They should.
Yeah.
People should be afraid of losing elections. Elected officials should be afraid of losing elections if they don't abide by the will of the people. No question about that.
Well, you know, just, I don't mean to intentionally plug my show here. Well, okay, I'll do it. It's titled Escape from Freedom, which is based on the title of the book by Eric Fromm in 1941. And he was a social psychologist and psychoanalyst. And Fromm observed, of course, he was in Nazi Germany. He came to New York. He was one of the few lucky people that was able to get out. And but he observed that there were a number of ways that humanity responds to living with freedom. And he says that one of those ways that people often respond is to give up their freedom and acquiesce to totalitarianism. And I see such a strong trend of that running through our rhetoric in the media, messages that are in entertainment, that the nanny state is going to take care of us, that Daddy Bush is going to take care of us, and we're going to feel safe. Mm-hmm. And we're running headstrong in the opposite direction from that which we have historically claimed as our form of government and as our philosophy behind governance itself. And it's a frightening observation, in my opinion.
It certainly is.
I don't see where it's going. I don't know unless people wake up, and that's why I do shows like this. That's why everybody on RBN has a show, because we all feel this sort of collective concern about the trends that we're observing in our society.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up. I'm sorry, say again.
I said that is definitely a great concern.
Well, and this is going to be a very interesting case to see where it goes and how it's going to have an effect on our elections. And that's something else I wanted to bring up with you. Why have we not heard anything in any of the debates and any of the stump speeches whatsoever? Why have none of the candidates brought up any issues of guns or guns control legislation?
Well, I think that they're afraid to touch it with a 10-foot pole at this time. Because even though a lot of government officials basically have been supporting various forms of gun control over the years, the fact of the matter is that the trend is running basically against gun control. For instance, in San Francisco recently, the District Court of Appeal, first District Court of Appeal there, struck down the city's two-year-old law that confiscated all handguns and rendered all other guns useless by banning ammunition sales. And that it was just a year ago in March that in the District of Columbia, the Court of Appeals struck down the D.C. law, which is the subject that's now before the Supreme Court. And the interesting thing in this is that these laws, which are really disarmament laws, epitomize the desires of the gun control people. And what's happened now is, at least on the Democratic side of the issue, there's sort of developed another unwritten commandment: don't mention guns. And here's the reason for that. Back in 1994, which isn't that long ago, when the Democrats, who then had control of Congress and the White House Bill Clinton as president, passed some gun control legislation such as the Brady Act and a 10-year ban on so-called assault weapons, which really were just semi-automatic firearms. The public reacted against that, and for the first time in 50 years, the Democrats lost control of both houses of Congress. So they're scared to death of this as an issue, even though their heart is definitely on the side of the gun control. So they're not mentioning it. And on the Republican side of the ledger,
I'll just hold that thought real quick, John, because we're going to go to a break, and I want us to continue this because I have a feeling it may eventually come up in the elections, but it will be after maybe Super Tuesday or after the nomination. We'll be right back. Stay tuned to the National Info Report.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The Berkey Lights' unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the National Intel Report. I'm Nadia Shamsuddin, sitting in for John Stattmiller. And we have a caller who's been waiting patiently. Randy in Texas, you're on the line.
I just wanted to make a comment about this law applies only to the 10 square miles of D.C. Is that correct?
Oh, the instant law applies only in the District of Columbia. However, the decision could have ramifications far beyond the District of Columbia, because it would deal with the meaning constitutionally of the right to keep and bear arms.
Right, and isn't it true that Congress has complete authority over that district?
You know, it's very interesting you should bring this up. Back in 1976, when the most onerous of these laws was enacted, by the way, Congress, either, any House of Congress can overturn an ordinance passed by the District of Columbia with what they call a resolution of disapproval. Now, I remember very well back, it was 1976, and there was a congressman from, you said you're from Texas?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there was a congressman from Texas named Ron Paul who was pushing a resolution of disapproval in the House of Representatives. And at the time, I was supporting that, and so were several other people and groups. But John Dingell, who is now the dean of the Democratic Party in Congress, persuaded the NRA not to support that resolution of disapproval. So as a result, that resolution of disapproval didn't go very far. But if that had been acted on positively at the time, it would have wiped out that bill, that District of Columbia ordinance. You're right on that. You're right on the fact that Congress does oversee that. But it's got either House of Congress can pass the resolution of disapproval, but it has to be passed within a certain time frame.
Well, I guess what I'm saying though is that Congress basically assigned an agent the powers that be in D.C., the city council or whatever they call themselves, to act in their behalf to set up these laws. But Congress has the ultimate authority over that. They can pass pretty much any law they want, and it doesn't even have to conform to the Constitution. And so what I predict they'll do is they'll say that it is constitutional, but they won't, and they'll go way out of their way to try and muddy the waters as to why it's constitutional, that it would not apply to anywhere outside of a federally controlled area.
Well, I don't really know what the court's going to do. I only hope, as I said before, that it will decide that the Second Amendment refers to an individual right, and it protects the rights of citizens in the District of Columbia, as well as the rights of citizens in other parts of the country. Although your point is well taken, and a number of legal scholars have made that point. So it's,
I mean, because, you know, if you go on a military base or a fort, they can tell you what to do.
Yeah, but this is not a military base. See, the District of Columbia.
It doesn't matter. I mean, they've done this kind of stuff before, and I think that they've been waiting for something like this to come along so that they can then use it to, you know, as they always do, deceive the general public into saying, well, you see, it didn't mean what it said. And
now, when you say they, who do you mean?
The Congress and the rest of the gang that want to basically nullify the Constitution completely.
Oh, I see. Well,
I mean, in other words, you know, they always pick these cases, and the Supreme Court takes them so that they can get precedents to basically overturn the way the government should run.
Well, I don't know. I think in this particular case, it was a number of libertarian scholars who developed this case and brought it because they thought it actually is a very good case upon which to base this argument.
I understand, Randy. I think I understand what you're saying, but I do concur with John that there are very different rules governing the activity of military bases, and there has to be. That's almost like a sub-society in itself, and there are some provisions that are separate than the civilian population.
Well, you see, that's where you're going off point, because it has nothing to do with the civilians. It has to do with territory completely under the control of Congress. In other words, they have absolute jurisdiction and control of that, and they don't have to follow the Constitution necessarily.
You know, the Congress has to follow the Constitution. I mean, the Congress is created, but they don't
in the certain areas that they have full authority over.
They're not bound to follow it.
The
Congress is created by the Constitution, Article 2. You know, I mean, it's.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if you guys are shocked and amazed that they come out with something that says.
Well, as I said, I don't know. I don't know how the court's going to rule. Nobody really does. Even they don't.
Well, let's hope they don't go there. This will be a very important ruling. Let's hope they rule in favor of the individualist position on this, because you know, if we lose this battle, then it's pretty serious implications down the line. We're going to take one more quick break. Stay with us on the National Intel Report. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
We've been talking with John Snyder, gun law expert, and I just wanted to comment on, John, what I feel like the sentiment was of our last caller. There is a kind of an ominous feeling among a lot of patriots in this country about where all this legislation is going, but I challenge myself daily to stay positive and hope that the day of reckoning for a lot of these things will just be put off for a little bit longer. So I just wanted to conclude with that. And I didn't know if he was still on the line, Alan, if you had another question for us. I guess we lost Alan. Okay. Oh, yes, okay. Alan, did you have one more question for us today? Okay, we lost him. Well, if anyone else would like to weigh in on this conversation, we'd love to include you. Our number is 800-313-9443. And, John, I wanted to to refer to something that you had written, I think, on the January 20th of this year, and you referred to some national surveys.
Mm-hmm.
You cited a USA Today Internet survey that indicated out of 600,000 participants that 97% support the individualist approach. That's overwhelming.
That is definitely overwhelming, and that shows a couple. By the way, that survey is still ongoing, but it's well over 640,000 respondents right now, and the percentages are holding. Now, what that means is that you've got hundreds of thousands of people willing to make their views known, and of that, nearly 100% or 97% are supporting the individual right to keep and bear arms, and that tells you something else too, and that tells you that these people who want to promote strict gun laws are really playing with fire, because there are so many people willing to fight them on this that if they continue with their program of gradual disarmament in the United States, they are going to have a tiger by the tail who's really going to bite them, and bite them hard. Believe me, they don't know what they're playing with. You know, these.
Well,
these people,
I agree with you. I don't think they've opened a Pandora's box, and I think a lot of them are going to be surprised. But that's good. They should be surprised.
They should be surprised, but they don't. They don't know. These people who are promoting gun control laws and you know, collectivist interpretations of the constitutional provision and so on, don't realize that they possibly are creating a monster that they will never be able to control. I really believe that, because I, to a certain extent, am in touch with the public on this issue. And you've got 80 million people in the United States with guns. And these people know how to use them, and believe me, if they feel they have to use them, they will. And
oh, yeah,
I've
heard them say, yeah, you can have my gun, bullets first. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the Citizens Committee for the Right to Bear and Keep and Bear Arms, which you are the public affairs director of. And now, do you have a grassroots component to your organization where people can get involved?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's a membership organization, sure.
What's your website? People, give us
yeah,
your website.
They can go on www.ccrkba.org, and they can look up membership information on that right there.
So are you planning any protests or any? Are you guys planning anything for this coming to the Supreme Court this year? Any public
rallies?
Well,
we have meetings throughout the year. Every year we have something called the National Gun Rights Policy Conference, which we co-sponsor in connection with our sister organization, the Second Amendment Foundation. And the Second Amendment Foundation has filed an amicus brief in connection with the case before the Supreme Court. We get together with several hundred activists every year, invite them to this conference, and this year it's going to be in late September. I think the last weekend in September. And if they go on that website, you know, sooner or later they'll find out more particulars about that. And they may, you know, if they want, they may want to come and go, because the registration is free. The only cost to the individual is their transportation and hotel. So, you know, we usually try to get a reduced rate at the hotel where we have it. But we have it at a different location each year, see.
And this year is going to be where?
I believe it's going to be in the Phoenix area.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a caller that's been holding, Desi in Maryland. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good evening to you all. I'd like to present an observation to you. And, John, if you could comment on this, please. I have a feeling that the Supreme Court will rule individual right to keep and bear arms, but I don't think it's going to have that much of an effect. And the reason I say that is because the freedom of speech is a fundamental right, and the courts have already ruled that it's perfectly acceptable to do away with that, for instance, yelling fire in a theater. It's called a compelling state interest. And so basically, from what I can see this, if they come down and rule that the individual right is certainly there for the Second Amendment, the only thing or effect that would have possibly is people in the District of Columbia would be allowed to have weapons in their home. And then once that decision is made, then all the state laws that restrict gun use basically are going to be presumed to be constitutional. And that means...
That's one way of looking at that, but I know a lot of people on our side of this issue feel that if the Supreme Court rules definitively that the Second Amendment refers to an individual right, that there could be challenges raised to a lot of the gun laws in some of the other states, which are thought to infringe upon the individual right to keep and bear arms. So I think that...
I understand that's where exactly right. There would be challenges, but look how slippery that slope is, because the compelling state interest is a very powerful one. And if they can say you can't yell fire in a theater, they could also say you can't have a gun on the street. I mean,
they can say a lot of things.
Sure.
But ultimately, the people, if they rear up, and will rule on this issue. I believe, and I think that. I really think that public sentiment is with us on this issue. I mean, according to the latest Rasmussen poll taken just last month, half the people in the United States say that there's at least one person in their own family that has a gun in the house, and I know that we've got, according to the most estimates, we've got 80 million gun owners in the United States, and there are at least 200 million guns in private homes. Politically, that if activated is a tremendous force.
Well, maybe that's why they're going after the ammunition. And I don't know if you're familiar with that latest bill.
There is that ammunition, and now the latest bill introduced this week in the Senate by Lautenberg and et cetera would try to clamp down on gun shows, which is where a lot of gun owners buy and trade and sell. So. They're trying a piecemeal approach to undermining the right to keep and bear arms. But I think we're aware of them, and
that
if the gun-owning public, maintains an awareness of this, we'll be able to continue to fight them.
Well, thank you for your comments, sir. I enjoyed the evening
here. Well, thanks
here
for coming on. Good talking to you. Yeah.
Thank you, Desi. Yeah, I wanted to add something to what Desi was talking about, and I sense what he is feeling is how fragile our democracy or representative republic, constitutional republic, whatever you want to call it, and there are shades of difference in that. But I think what he's talking about is how fragile that
it's very fragile. Our rights only exist till the next election.
Well, that's true.
If the public is not aware of how important these elections are, theoretically, they could lose everything.
Well, absolutely. And historically, the forms of government that have been the strongest and lasted the longest, unfortunately, have been totalitarian forms of government. Those are easier, in one sense, to control and maintain, and democracies are very fragile. They depend primarily on the citizens, as you were just saying, being involved. Not only is it a government of the people, for the people, we all have to take responsibility. We can't just acquiesce all of our responsibility to someone else and say, well, somebody else will take care of it or someone else will do my thinking for me. And that is not the case in our form of government, and people have got to wake up and make their voice be heard.
Well, that's definitely true, and that's what a lot of these conservative and traditionalist organizations are trying to do, like the Citizens Committee and Second Amendment Foundation and various others, trying to form an organization through which people can express their views and make their voices heard.
Well, and John, conclude the show, I wanted to give out more contact information for you if our listeners had some questions for you or they wanted more information about this legislation or your organization. The website is www.ccrkba.org.
Mm-hmm.
And also wanted them to to learn more about your book and how they may obtain
a copy of that? There's a website for that, too. At least there's a website for the organization, and then they can find out more about the book on that. That's www.gunsaint.com. www.gunsaint.com.
And, well, John, I wanted to mention some of the things that have happened in the state court rulings, and I wanted to talk about the one in New Hampshire. It was reported by the Associated Press last May. It reads, someone found mentally incompetent to stand trial in New Hampshire still may be competent to own guns, the state Supreme Court ruled. The court overturned a Concord District Court ruling in which a man was denied his weapons after being found mentally incompetent to stand trial on charges of theft, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest in connection with a 2004 outburst at Division of Motor Vehicles headquarters in Concord. So tell us how the weight of the Supreme Courts of states have on cases that are going before our federal Supreme Court.
You want to know?
Does that make sense?
You're trying to ascertain what weight federal courts give to state court decisions. Is that what you mean?
No. Actually, it was the opposite. In other words, you know, with this occurring in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
How do these rulings in the different states come into bear when they go to the Supreme Court with similar issues?
Well, I think in situations like that, the Supreme Court of the United States looks at all the state cases that are involved, and has to decide between issues if there are varying opinions in the state courts on these issues.
Yeah, and it's interesting about this issue with mentally incompetent. Now, I know we listened to it in the first hour, so for those of you who were not tuned in then, we discussed that component of the decision-making, whether or not someone should be able to
That was that new law we were discussing.
Right.
We were discussing new law.
It occurs to me that there could be a lot of people out there that are mentally incompetent, that somewhere along the line a court has not specifically ruled that they are, and it just seems to me that regardless of how much legislation there is in terms of strict guidelines mm-hmm. on releasing permits for people, they're always going to be someone fall through the crack. They can't completely control everything. It's impossible.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, there's no such thing as total control and total security unless you have, you know, a system like you had in the old Soviet Union or something like that.
Yep, total repression. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, we hope we don't see that here.
I sure do.
David,
I sure agree
from
with
Arizona
you on
that. Is on the line. David, you have a question for our guest today.
Well, I just want to make a comment to point out, you know, the reality of what's going on here. I live in Tucson, and we're getting ready to have the gem show. It's the biggest gem show in the world. You know, zillions of dollars worth of diamonds, rubies, and all that crap. Anyway, before this is a place called Quartzsite. Have you guys ever heard of Quartzsite, Arizona?
No, I haven't.
No.
Okay, you go on Highway 10 toward California, and about 10 miles before the California border, it's a little town called Quartzsite. It's in the middle of the desert. There's nothing there. There's like 1,500 people year-round. During the month of January and February, it swells up to 1.5 million people, all in motorhomes and campers and what have you. And they're mostly older people, retired, and there's like 3 cops to take care of 1.5 million people. But it's safest place I've ever been because everybody's got a pistol. Granny's wearing a pistol. You've never felt so safe in your life. You got 89-year-old women with a pistol on their hip.
That makes the point, doesn't it?
That makes the point. And if you don't believe it, just go there and check it out. Quartzsite, mm-hmm. Arizona. Look it up on the Internet. Go there and experience it for yourself.
Oh, sounds great.
All right, guys. That's all.
Thank you, David. That's a very interesting,
interesting illustration,
isn't it?
Yeah. That was something I didn't know about. Glad to hear about it.
Well, you know, sometimes you hear a lot of very persuasive arguments like that, and it makes you wonder where some of these legislators get all of this thinking that we should limit the rights of U.S. citizens to bear arms. Is it completely out of fear? Is it a power issue?
I think that they basically fear the people. I really think that's what's at the root of it. They fear the people, and they fear their inability to control the people, as though it's their calling in the first place to try to control the people. They should do the people's will rather than try to dictate to the people. But I think a lot of them get into office and they like the accoutrements of office, and they figure, well, this is great. I don't want anybody to take this away from me, so I'll take more and more power away from the people if I can.
Yeah, unfortunately, they forget that it's a service.
Mm-hmm. That's
and,
correct.
And it's not to serve their ego, but it's to serve the citizens of the country that they were elected to serve. And we're going to take one more break. We'll come back for our last segment. Stay with us. I'm a National Intel Report.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. 6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
All right, we're wrapping it up. This has been Nadia Shamsuddin sitting in for John Stattmiller and my guest, John Snyder. And, John, we have one more caller. That's Mark in Minnesota. Mark, you're on the line.
Yes. You talk about the spectrum in gun control. Does that mean when they merge, like the Amaro, does that mean the Canadians and Mexicans get to own pistols?
Well, that's a good question.
I know what you're talking about, this Atlantic Union, this
North American
North-South
Union.
American, yeah. Well,
you know, there's kind of a little bit of humor there,
I know what you're concerned about, and I think most people do have a concern when a lot of these international entities are being pushed, that we don't lose our rights in those entities, and I think it's definitely a concern, and we ought to make sure that our Second Amendment rights are upheld, no matter what entities we enter, or we just shouldn't enter them. Period.
Or do we know that hell's in the handbasket?
What's in a handbasket?
Well, he said hell in a handbasket. Well, Well, and that's why we exist. That's why RBN is here, to inform people so that they will arm themselves with the truth. They'll get involved, and we can reverse some of the damage that has been created by this recent administration. And John, we have just a few more minutes left for the show, and I just wanted you to summarize a few more things that are on your heart. And I also want to encourage people to visit your website, the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms.
Well, I just wanted to thank you very much for calling me and giving me an opportunity to talk about some of the issues that are confronting us in Congress and before the Supreme Court, and also to talk a little bit about one of my pet projects, the St. Gabriel Placenti Society, and hope that people, and judging from the way they reacted, they do basically agree with our way of looking at these issues. So I think it's been a very, very profitable discussion.
And how would you summarize the philosophy behind the St. Gabriel Placenti Society?
Well, the St. Gabriel Placenti Society believes that it is the duty and the right of good people to keep and bear arms, and that the example of this saint shows that, yes, indeed, holy people, people committed to the truth, to God, and to the good things in life, can and do believe in their right and ability to protect themselves and others from criminals and gangs who are intent on taking lives and property away from people. You know, it's a good thing to be able to defend yourself. It's a good thing to be able to have a gun to protect yourself and your family from these criminals, whether they be individual or national.
Well, absolutely, and even Jesus said in the New Testament, if a man doesn't have a sword, let him go and sell his cloak and buy him one.
The man without a sword must sell his cloak, it didn't say could, must sell his cloak and buy one.
I stand corrected. I'm glad you emphasized that, John. I've really enjoyed this. I thank you, John Stattmiller, for asking me to sit in with you today. It was a real joy, and I hope, John Snyder, that you will come back.
Oh, I'd love to.
And guest on my show sometime.
Be pleasure.
And I want to encourage our listeners, if you missed the first hour, go into our archives and listen to the entire show. You'll get a lot from it. I'll see you later. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America.